Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Let me tell you a story. In the summer of 2008, the Grammy-nominated pianist and composer Fred Hirsch spent 2 months in a medically induced coma. Not only did he survive, but when he awoke, he remembered having a series of dreams and nightmares. Working with the Grammy-winning director, Herschel Garfein, he shaped those memories into a music theater piece called My Coma Dreams, about one man's time in a place where the line between life and death gets somewhat blurry. Now, we're used to the arts having a narrative like that, but you may be surprised to learn, as I was, that medicine can be a narrative practice, too. Fred Hirsch's piece is being presented in conjunction with Columbia University's Program in Narrative Medicine. And joining me here in the studio are Dr. Rita Sharon, the executive director of that program, and the composer, Fred Hirsch. To the two of you, welcome.
Thank you.
Fred, it's good to see you again. Rita, I had never heard the term narrative medicine before, and in the sort of the literature associated with this piece, you were quoted as saying that the narrative medicine program explores the deep intersection between medicine and the arts. What is that intersection?
We used to think that we were using the arts to, I don't know, civilize us or sensitize us. We now see that the care of the sick is an art form, as I think health is a work of art. So that deeply in everything we do is a realization of the creativity, the jeopardy, the risk of any creation of art and any interaction with it.
So the program in narrative medicine at Columbia University, helping to present Fred Hirsch's piece, My Coma Dreams. And Fred, what is your narrative? Tell us the story.
Well, 2008 was not a very great year for me. Mm-hmm. I've been battling HIV/AIDS for more than a quarter century. I started out the year with the AIDS virus attacking my brain, and I spent 3 months paranoid, delusional, really pretty nuts. Then I sort of had a honeymoon period, and then in early May of 2008, I got a pneumonia, and it wasn't an AIDS-related anything. It was just a really virulent pneumonia, and it went untreated for a variety of reasons. And by the time I got to the hospital on June 11th, I was in total septic shock. My organs were failing.
And were you in a position at that point to communicate your story to the doctors?
No, that came to my partner, Scott, you know, who essentially saved my life. So they induced coma. They put a breathing tube down my throat. Eventually, I had a tracheotomy. And I was in the coma for 2 months. During that time, you know, and I didn't know this about comas, I became very agitated. I had to be strapped to my bed. I was put on methadone.
While in a coma?
While in a coma.
Now, see, I think, Rita, I mean, yeah, you're a doctor, and you're probably more familiar with it, but I'm with Fred. I assumed coma meant you were just lying there, comatose, not thinking, not moving.
Well, that's the thing. We in the ICU taking care of someone in a coma, we see the physical activity, we see the effects of organ failure, whatever is happening. We don't know what's going on in the mind.
Yeah.
And that's what Fred, as he tells you about the music, has taught us in ways that no one else could teach us.
So while you're comatose.
So, yeah. And when I, contrary to what you see in movies, and that there's actually a piece in My Coma Dreams about misperceptions of coma in film and movies, you come out very slowly and it's a kind of a messy process. And generally, I never, ever remember a dream.
Mm-hmm.
But I retained about 8 very specific dreams for some months. until I was able to type them into a computer. I took them to Herschel Garfein, and we had worked
the writer and director.
Writer-director, and he took those dreams along with interviews that he did with me, my partner Scott, and my internist, Michael Liguori, and shaped them into a dramatic narrative. And the piece is for one actor who also sings, who plays both me and my partner Scott and some other characters, 11 instruments and a very large video surface, 25 by 50 feet, which is
wow.
Drawn animation and computer generated imagery. So we have somebody in the running the computer in the house along with the performance, because it's jazz and it's not exactly time.
Right, so it has to be live.
Has to be. He's like the extra member of the band.
So in the arc of your narrative, in the arc of this story, the dream of the knitters, you referred to this in a note you sent me as the emotional centerpiece of the work. Mm-hmm. What is happening in the knitters? What was this dream?
Okay. In the dream, I'm looking down into a room with a vaulted ceiling and oak beams and leaded glass windows. And around the table are seated six or seven women who are wearing sort of brownish-gray woolen dresses, white aprons, and caps, and they're knitting. They're speaking, but I can't hear them. So it's kind of knitting circle. It could be the Fates. It could be nurses. Who knows?
Mm.
But as the first woman knits about a foot or so of cloth, of knitting, from her needles emerges a gray-brown bird of the same color that emerges from the needles, flies around the room and flies out.
Mm-hmm.
And so the women continue to knit birds.
That's a remarkable image.
It is a remarkable... It's, you know, and in the show, it's the way we do it, I have to say, is kind of a knockout.
My Coma Dreams is the name of the program based on Fred Hirsch's experience in the summer of 2008 in a coma for 2 months. The pianist and composer is here with me, along with Dr. Rita Sharon, the executive director of the program in narrative medicine at Columbia University. It's at Columbia's Miller Theater where the production is taking place. Let's hear just a little bit of The Knitters.
And we, under a spell, say nothing. Peer down. Listen to the soft, intoxicating clicks of conversation. Looking for our future in the room below, as if our fate was being made in the room below. And maybe it was, maybe our fate was knitted in the room.
The Knitters, just a little bit from the centerpiece, one of the high water marks in Fred Hirsch's music theater piece, My Coma Dreams. And the knitting is one of the dreams, one of the eight dreams that Fred remembered after awakening from a two-month coma in the summer of 2008. Michael Winther is the singer/actor. And the performances take place at Columbia's Miller Theater on Saturday, March 2nd at 3 and 8 p.m., And Fred Hirsch is here. Also, Dr. Rita Sharon, the executive director of the program in narrative medicine at Columbia University. And Rita, is it rare to have a patient like Fred who is so eloquent about his narrative and is able to kind of spell it out for you like this?
Indeed. This is what electrified me on hearing Fred on NPR talking about his illness and his production.
Are you a jazz fan?
And I am, but I had not seen you in person until that Smalls event.
I don't want to interrupt, but just to say what she's referring to is I had in October yet another pneumonia. And I was
October
on
of
2008 after the coma, mm-hmm. and I had been on a feeding tube since June, and I was on a feeding tube for 8 months, no food, no water, nothing. And two nights after I got out of the ICU from this final pneumonia, I actually played a gig at Smalls. You know, I decided two nights after I got out on a Saturday afternoon, and Monday night I played at Smalls. Which is a small jazz club in the village.
Forgive me, Fred, but was that wise?
No, but it was brilliant.
You know, it's funny. I took inspiration from I'm a tennis nut, and Monica Seles was stabbed
in the
back on a tennis court.
By
a rabid fan. And it took her 2.5 years to come back, mm-hmm. and she kind of lost her mojo.
Right.
And I thought, okay, this is not going to be the best set I've ever played, but I just need to prove to myself that I can do it. Mm-hmm. And it was, of course, incredibly emotional. I didn't have a speaking voice then. My right vocal cord had been paralyzed. So I was kind of talking like this. And, my hands were not what they are now. The fine motor coordination had not totally come back. But it was just something that I had to do for myself.
Mm-hmm. And Rita, you were there that night.
And here's the thing, yes. Many people emerge from coma. Many people try to tell us in words what happened. But Fred's gifts as a musician and composer allows him to cross over to me through the music, dispensing with the words.
Well, now that is a question I wanted to ask both of you, is whether the narrative relies exclusively on words, on text, or whether it can be done through sounds and music.
No, and the more we do our work, the more we see that the narrativity or the telling of self occurs in pictures and music and dance and gesture. It ain't just words. Mm. And indeed, music is so much more capable of carrying an emotional truth.
Well, now you write about going to see a series of Rembrandt self-portraits,
mm-hmm.
and without a single word, getting a kind of sense of narrative from a guy who'd been dead for centuries.
Indeed, but here he is using his gift to tell as best he can about himself.
And Fred, you did compose a number of non-narrative, well, that's the wrong word, isn't it? Let's say non-text-based parts to my
coma
dreams.
The Knitters, which we heard a little bit, is the only real song in the piece. There are things that are song-like. There are pieces that are purely instrumental. We took each dream as an individual case and what would be the best way to represent it. Sometimes it's with humor, sometimes it's with terror. You know, sometimes it's with different parts of the orchestra.
What about the boy? What's happening? What's
okay? The boy in the dream. I'm on a, sort of a high bed, like higher than a hospital bed, and there's a boy around my bed. There are other children playing, and he has big green eyes. My partner Scott has green eyes. And he keeps trying to give me medicine. And I keep saying, no, no, I'm contagious. Don't do this. But he's so loving and, innocent in a way,
mm-hmm.
That even though I know he doesn't know what he's doing, it's very hard to resist.
So you created this piece. It's an instrumental work. Does the video kind of take on some of the narrative?
Yeah, it does. In this particular dream, and I don't want to spoil it, you just see text.
Okay.
And the music itself was inspired by some classical music, the Robert Schumann Scenes from Childhood,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, I played when I was about 5 or 6. So that was my jumping off point for the composition, because that was about the age of the boy.
All right, so let's hear a little bit of Fred Hirsch's piece, The Boy. This is an excerpt from his music theater piece with the writer and director Herschel Garfein called My Coma Dreams. some of Fred Hirsch's music for The Boy, one of eight dreams that he remembered after awakening from 2 months in a medically induced coma in the summer of 2008. The larger piece is called My Coma Dreams, being presented at Columbia's Miller Theater on Saturday, March 2nd. Two shows, one at 3, one at 8. Presented in association with the program in narrative medicine at Columbia University, and their executive director, Dr. Rita Sharon's with us, as well as Fred Hirsch. And Rita, what other art projects has the program been involved with?
We had a production at Miller Theater some months ago of Theater of War, which is a reader's theater presentation of Sophocles' Ajax. Mm-hmm. We did that specifically to fulfill duties we felt toward the veterans mm-hmm. within Columbia University and those who have undergone the traumas of war.
And so is the program looking, you know, to, I mean, there's a ton of works out there now, a lot of music works. Vijay Iyer did his veterans project. David T. Little's Soldier Songs, you know, a lot of younger composers who have friends who went abroad to Iraq and Afghanistan and have come back with these horrific tales. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of artwork now based on that.
And so we're working with VA hospitals to increase that effort. We're also bringing a celebration of the 20th year anniversary of Philadelphia, the film, which really began the narrative and epidemic efforts in ACT UP. So we're getting Jonathan Demme, and we're getting those who actually made the film as another example.
So the idea of medicine and the arts having, you know, that Venn diagram actually does have some overlap is still an idea that a lot of us are getting used to. Fred, in... You know, the idea that a narrative is a narrative, I mean, you know, storytellers know that over time, stories change. Has the way you've told your story changed in the 4-plus years since that coma in 08?
There's certain things that I will probably never get over. For instance, during those 8 months when I was unable to swallow even a sip of water, you know, about 50% of the time, you know, when I, you know, I'm thirsty and I chug a water bottle, I think about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm aware of all the muscles that I had to retrain in swallow therapy to be able to do that. Certain things I don't take for granted. And, you know, in terms of the actual story of the dreams, you know, it's a little freaky because there I am playing music that I've written that by all rights I shouldn't even be alive to write. Then there's somebody who is portraying me, who is standing next to me. You know, it's pretty trippy, as they say.
That's a surreal narrative.
Yes, it's a surreal narrative.
And it takes place at Miller Theater on Saturday, March 2nd, two shows at 3 and at 8. We've been speaking with Fred Hirsch, the pianist and composer of My Coma Dreams, and Dr. Rita Sharon, the executive director of Columbia University's program in narrative medicine. And to the both of you, this has really been fascinating. Thank you both for being with us.
Thanks so much for
having
me.
Thanks for the support, John.
This is Soundcheck. That's Fred Hirsch's piece, Dream of Monk, based on a darkly comic dream that Fred had, where he's in a cage and a few feet away in a slightly larger cage is Thelonious Monk. Both are told to write a tune and the winner gets to go home. And that's the tune that Fred came up with. The American pianist Van Cliburn died this week at the age of 78. Coming up, we'll hear a bit of Van Cliburn's famous 1958 performance at Carnegie Hall, plus a Latter-day Live performance from the Revolutionary Snake Ensemble, later on Soundcheck.